Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Yes.
We had this big conversation the last time we met, and a couple of you wanted to think about it and maybe come back to it. So I thought I would just start a little bit with what were your thoughts after that? And do you have any thoughts or conversation or questions that you have as a follow-up to that? Do you remember how we were talking about really how you put your brand out there and how you kind of had to follow the energy of things a little bit? Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about a lot of different stuff, but I know a couple of you said, oh, this is really helpful and I'd like to come back to it. So I thought I'd just open that conversation if you have anything to add.
I have actually something to add about, I sat with that conversation last time because it really brought up some things. And I started realizing that with redoing this website, there was something I was resisting and I wanted to really dig into that a little bit. I'm like, what am I resisting? Well, here's where I landed on that. And the short story is I was going to offer three different things. And yeah. One of them wasn't feeling right. And I was trying to figure out, why don't I have energy? Like, why can't I finish this? Well, yeah. It just took that shift, right? And I know, so you talk about this all the time, like your inner energetic shifts, like, what is that? And I realized the place I want to be, and maybe this is for further discussion, is.
Oh, we lost you. Okay. Oh. Say again.
I don't want to do the same old thing that everybody's been doing or even that we've been taught, right? Like it just didn't feel good anymore. And so I want to, where I've landed is I just want to offer two things.
Okay.
And I want to pour into those things. And one will be the membership group. Uh-huh. And it'll probably be less people, but more in depth and more content. And instead of offering one-off classes to a lot of people, that was just too, like, taking too much energy from me. Yeah. I thought, if I'm gonna, yeah. Right? Like, I know we need sales funnels, but I'm like, but do we really? And can we rethink what that looks like? Because I really just want to offer this membership group and all the class ideas I had will be poured into this membership group who really want to be there, who aren't just kicking tires looking for, you know, something low cost or free or whatever. And then also offer the highest end life plan 101 for high level people with a bigger price tag. And then they could also be rolled into the membership as a bonus or something like that. Yeah. Kind of how I landed on that. And I all of a sudden felt really good about that. And I thought it's okay to say, I really basically do one thing and there's maybe two levels of that one thing. But when I realized I could sit there and that's okay. And I get to be in charge of my business, right?
Yes, absolutely. You do. Yes. You're the boss of you. You are the boss of you.
And there was a freedom in that. And so I think the larger discussion, and you guys can share other things, but then the larger discussion to me is, okay, then what would marketing look like? And for me, it's probably just doing some free videos and be more visible on video and maybe offer some challenges, but not offer a million different little classes just to get them into the membership. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, the forward energy of that is very strong.
Yeah,
I like that for you and for not just for you, but for other folks too. It is exhausting to do the piddly little courses. And I have found myself over the last year resisting that too, when I know good and darn well I should be doing it. But I always have to look at, you know, if I'm resisting something, you have to be really emotionally honest with yourself or intellectually honest with yourself, I should say. Sometimes it's just pure laziness. You just need to get, but sometimes it's because really the essence of what it is that you want to put out there is not being met by going down that particular road. And I think that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So your issue then becomes that in a way your membership group is going to be a referral group for your higher level work. Mm-hmm. And maybe not. I mean, some people will just go and do the higher level work, but for other people, your membership site will introduce them to you. And then eventually they'll want to do the higher level work. So then your challenge becomes, what are the best things that I can do marketing wise and advertising wise that get that constantly pour people into the membership group without having to say, oh, here's a free course, or here's this, or here's that, or here's the other thing. And I think video would be a good idea for you, like a little video. You could do like Subi Zimmerman does, just drop a video once a week with, you know, something that talks about life and a purposeful life, and then leads to an invitation to check out the membership. Now, one thing Joy Chudikoff does, Christy, that she and I have talked about a lot, and it has worked fairly well for her. In fact, I was just chatting with her about this the other day. She has a membership group now called Align Online. And what she has been doing is anybody who wants to sit in on one session for free can do that. And then they're given an opportunity to join, not at any kind of discounted rate, at the full rate, but they are welcome to come as a guest, which, I mean, I've always been open to that too. I haven't really made that a part of advertising, but she decided she was going to actually push that point of advertising. And what she told me, she did that a couple of months ago. And what she told me is that she got a little spike of visitors, and about 50 to 60% of them converted. And I think that's a pretty high conversion, actually. So yes, it might be worth it. I think you have to be careful about other members feeling like, oh, is it a safe space and all that kind of stuff. But you can welcome that person as a member and make sure that they're included. And I think you've got the smoothness and the social skills to do that easily. Maybe some people don't, but I think you do. So that might be one idea for you to try.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I followed Joy, but I haven't really been looking at what she's doing group wise lately. So
yeah.
I know she was doing, I forget what she called it, but she would meet in person. And that's the other thing. As things start opening up, on top of that, if I get this core group of people, then I'd like to do once or twice a year an in-person kind of small retreat, yeah, but just in depth. So I guess all that makes sense to me. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
But see, isn't it good that when you sat with that, it really helped you take your business not a different direction. That's the wrong thing to say. The right thing to say is it helped you simplify the energy underneath your business and what you felt like you had to do to keep it viable and have people come into your field of vision, you know, to join you.
So that's the only other thing that I thought of is this course that I was going to do called Who Are You Becoming? I was going to do it live 4 times a year and use that as a funnel. I'm wondering if I could just shorten it to make it way less content and have it be, I don't know, I'm not using my words today. Have it be a shorter online video, like they buy it and it's a smaller price tag and it's got pre-made videos and a little workbook, just to have something. Or is that kind of cheapening what I just said I didn't want to do? I'm on the fence about, do I still offer that class, but instead of offering it as a live 6 week, I just offer it as a one-time purchase with maybe 6 short little videos and a small workbook to give them a taste of.
You could do that, but you could use that as one. I'm a believer that there should be 3 entryways into something that's an ongoing program. So maybe your 3 entryways could be you dropping a weekly video, you offering a hands-off online video course, and then one other thing. That's good, because you want to get it in 3 different modalities. You want to get people who watch, people who listen, and people who kind of want to go off and study. And you might even shorten it to 4 instead of 6 components. Mm-hmm.
If I reinvent my podcast, could that be like a third way?
It could.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking. That's where I was at.
Yeah, okay. It definitely could. I'm sorry if you hear the lawnmowers. I swear every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, they're right at my front door.
I don't hear them.
Okay.
I don't either.
It's one reason I use these, because it kind of cuts out the field sound behind me, you know? So. How about you, Sandy? Did you have anything you wanted to bring up from that last conversation?
For me, I'm realizing that my list is really not a good list for me anymore.
In what way?
I've grown so much, both as a business owner and who I serve. And when I think about my list and I think about the last survey that I did and the things they're interested in, mm-hmm. the people that responded are still those struggling to get to six figures. They're not taking consistent action. They're talking about it, but they're not doing it. And when I look at my clients, paying clients and who are the best ones, they've all incorporated some form of a recurring revenue stream, whether it's a membership program or one of my best clients just actually, he doubled his business during the pandemic. We pivoted what he was doing, and you know, May of 2020, he had a $31,000 month.
Wow.
This year, he had a $68,000 month.
Good for and him.
Absolutely. Every call, he comes with a hit list. We go through the hit list. He goes away. He implements, and he sees results. Huge, huge implementer, which is fantastic. And last year, he didn't have a recurring stream. Now he does. That's, you know, allowed him to leverage so much. So as I think about it, I'm realizing that I'm bored with the, I think that's the word, I'm bored. I'm bored with saying the same things over and over again to people who say they want it, but they don't do the work.
Yes, but.
Exactly. I was on a call yesterday with a client and she joined my 5-day challenge. 5 days to know if you're ready for a membership program. And on our call yesterday, it was a team call. So she had other team members there. And I kind of, in the traction world, I kind of serve as an integrator for her. So I was on the call in that role. And she said, oh, I joined your challenge. And I'm like, you did? I'm like, I didn't see you in the Facebook group. She goes, oh, I joined it, but I was too busy to do anything. Huh. And she's like, so can you just tell me, am I ready to have a membership program? Oh. And I said, absolutely not. No. if you can't even show up to find out if you're ready to have one, you're not ready to do the consistent work.
Right.
You know, and I'm just done with that. I don't want... I cannot work harder for their businesses than they're willing to.
Right.
And I'm done with the people that want that.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. I think when we reach the point in our businesses when we're feeling like we just are done with a certain part of our business, then it's a real sign to us in our inner selves that we've grown another level. Mm-hmm. And we also have achieved a different level of wisdom where our bullshit detector, pardon the French, gets a little bit more keen. Also, Sandy, you are the kind of personality, in this way, I think you and I are often alike. I am very task-oriented, and so are you. You want to see results for yourself in your business, like I do, like we all do here. But you also want to see those results in other people's businesses if you've invested yourself with your time and your expertise and your emotion, because even though they're clients, still nevertheless, you're emotionally connected to them in some way, or you wouldn't be good at what you do, right?
Right.
So... It is a level of seeing clearly that you have these gifts and that it is not good for you or even wise for you to put those gifts in front of people who are not able to appreciate those gifts. And I think we all come to that point in our business, and we kind of, maybe every 2 or 3 years, we kind of feel like we want to shed something else, you know, because we are more intense, we're more focused, we're more experienced, and we more quickly see if somebody is going to be a match for our energy level or not. So what's happened is your energy level has come up and their energy level has not. And so you're feeling that mismatch of intent and responsibility and energy. And they are no longer the people who are ideal for you at all. In fact, that becomes an energetic drag.
And that's exactly it. It's, I am thrilled to work with someone who's newer in business and working on A, B, or C. If they're taking, to me, if they're taking action, it's completely an energetic thing.
Yeah.
If they don't, you know, if they want to spend their entire call complaining about how busy they are, I don't know. No.
Right.
It sucks the life out of me for the rest of the day.
Yeah, right. So that's because you're performing at a high level and you are a good strategizer. And when people are good with strategies, they see the path forward, they see the energy of things, and then they quickly start to see this one's, the path is blocked, or this one, the path is open, right? And so now then the work for you becomes, okay, you have this list, and let's just say out of the clear blue eye, you may disagree with me completely. Let's just say of your list, 50% are no longer your people. I'm just saying that. It could be any number you want. Okay, so now what is your responsibility to move forward and get those people off your list?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think that group, I am fine with them being on the list mm-hmm. and joining my low level $29 a month membership program, highly leveraged, no one-on-one time, and it gives them consistent business learning that they can implement or not. If they want to implement, fantastic. If they don't, okay. That doesn't take from me.
Yeah, it's just there.
It's just there. And it's been there for 11 years mm-hmm. and I love it. My challenge. So I think that exists for them.
Okay.
You know, if they want it, great. If they don't, fine.
Okay.
On the other side, what I need to do is I need to, and we talked about this a little bit in previous calls, I need to refine my branding around what I do really well, which is the membership and the retention.
Yeah.
So that 5-day challenge was a test for me to see how people like that content. Got fantastic feedback on it. So I'm now taking that and turning it into my opt-in.
Okay.
On the list. I'm just going to rework the videos and make it a video series for the opt-in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to attract people that aren't willing to do that type of work.
Then, and it also isn't going to attract people who are not interested in that particular topic.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And I've had a couple of, I've been posting more on LinkedIn around this topic. And I've had a couple of requests to do podcast interviews.
Great.
For people in much, in the alley terms, you know, in much bigger ponds than what mine currently is.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic because I quite frankly suck at networking. I despise it. I'm the wallflower at all of those events. And that's my happy.
Virtual or real or both?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Well, virtual, I'm actually getting much, much better.
I was going to say virtual is a lot easier and I could see you being better at virtual than real.
I am. Real, yeah. You have to put me on the stage.
Yeah.
You put me on the stage, I'm good. Other than that, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And every event I've spoken at live, I've been the number one seller at the event because that's my happy place. But yeah. Put me in front of the coffee urn and I just shut down, you know?
Okay. So going forward, as things start to open up again, part of your strategy really should be that maybe quarterly you're on some stage, either your own stage or someone else's stage.
Yes. I have a tentative offer for December in Orlando with the AMA, Agency Management Association, something like that. Based on a couple of other things they want to see. So it's, for me, it's the, you know, it's always scary to niche down. And I've been a generalist for so long.
Yeah.
And I like that because there's variety, you know, and that won't change. You know, I can still do all the stuff I do. I'm just going to focus from a branding standpoint on the niching it down.
Look, that whole thing about niching it down, it's important for everyone, for all of us. And it is like you are putting your stake in the sand. This is kind of the bird song of you. It's going to be the membership and the retention. That's kind of the song you put out. But as you start to work with people who do have that interest and who are implementers, because those are the two things I hear you saying, they will need other stuff and you will become such a partner with them over time that if you want to do that other stuff, you can. And if not, you can refer it out to somebody you trust or they can go find it on their own. So it doesn't mean you can't have that variety. Plus in memberships alone, there's so much variety anyway.
Yes. I've had an offer from someone to build out their funnels into a membership program using ClickFunnels and Infusionsoft. They want the strategy, but then they also want me to handle the behind the scenes implementation of it all. Yeah. And I'm talking to them either Friday or Monday. We're still narrowing that down to see what that would look like. But they, if it is something that we agree on and we do it and we do it really well, they've said they want to make me their official partner to do it for their clients, but no referral fee. They don't accept referral fees. They just want to know that they can referring to someone who can do the job well. And then it gets into, do I really want to get into the techie side of it?
Yeah. You know, that's what I was sitting here wondering. Yeah.
Strategy.
Yeah. Do you want that work?
I don't know yet. I mean, Infusionsoft is, it's easy. I like it. ClickFunnels, I have not played with it. So that would be a learning experience. And I would have to go through it and do it first before I could train my team on how to do it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't toss my team into it cold. So I'm going back and forth.
Well, think about it in this way. Most of the time we're best at either staying on the strategy side of things or the tactical side of things. Usually all of us are pulled to one of those sides or the other. And so think about where does your energy go? Where do you really want to spend the time? And then do you think that you would get too feel like you were too stuck or too down in the weeds if you did the tactical stuff? Now, some people really love the tactical stuff and they can do it all day long. And those kind of people if you can play in the strategy, but also know the tactic, then that's fine. I can play both ways, but I know that my interest is really more in the strategy and energetic side of things than in the tactical. But everybody has to decide that for themselves. So think about this time a year from now, if you did that, and in the meanwhile, they gave you two or three other people, would you be going like, oh God, we got to slog through all of this, you and your team? Or would you be thinking, this is solid and this is going to become a bigger part of my business? I think it's really, where do you want your business to be a year, 18 months from now? Do you want that to be a big block of your business or no? That's really what you're deciding, because it will grow if you do it.
It will grow. And I think part of it is, I would be okay to do it for a couple of jobs,
yeah,
and then get my team on it.
Yeah.
And then offer like a maintenance agreement,
mm-hmm,
you know, to keep recurring coming in from those. Mm-hmm. And as part of the maintenance strategy, and I would handle the strategy and then pass along to the team the implementation piece of it. So I'd be happy to do, I don't know, say 2 to 4 of those jobs to really nail the process.
Uh-huh.
You know, give it to a team, hire a project manager to manage them that I work with, give them the overall strategy. They manage the tactical team. And the types of businesses that we're talking, they would be comfortable writing a check the size that would make it worth my time to do it.
Yeah, well, that's a smile factor, you know. No. I don't want to do anything that doesn't put a smile on my face if it's right. Something new and different. That means that there's a learning curve for me, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so there would be a little bit of a learning curve, and I love to learn, so I'm happy about that piece of it.
Yeah.
The strategy stuff I can do in my sleep. So once this, if it works out, I feel like this could be a new recurring side of the business that allows me to have a team that really loves what they're doing. And allows me to dabble when I want to dabble in the tactical and hop back out when I don't want to.
Okay, so then the thought becomes, what are the block a year and a half, 2 years from now, what are the major blocks of your business? And what are is there something you'll have to offload so that you don't have too many pieces going? So that for me would be where my thoughts would be going next.
The big offload for me would be the one-on-one work that I'm doing with these clients now that feel like an energy drain.
Yeah.
And is a piece of this other piece with the membership programs and the strategy, a big part of that for me would be retention. You know, so how do I work a contract with them so that we're providing strategy around retention with the potential that we implement some pieces of that retention plan as well? You know, that retention and nurturing plan, which I can easily have the team do. They do that for me now. You know, I just write it up and they take care of the mechanics of it.
Right.
And I could see that as being a growth area. It's something I love. Retention and nurturing, just they make my heart sing. I love that piece of stuff. And they would have a vested interest in doing it because, you know, it's so much less expensive to keep clients than it is to keep, you know, churning and burning them. So that's kind of where I'm thinking, depending what happens with my call later this week, early next week. And, you know, if they want to take a chance, and because in a sense it is, knowing that I am not intimately familiar with ClickFunnels at all. You know, so I would price it with that learning curve in mind.
So really you would be offloading the one-on-one work and taking on basically the project management work.
Project management, and a piece of that would be one-on-one strategy with either the principal or the marketing director or the COO, whoever, depending on the size of the organization.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But my one-on-one work would be at that level, as opposed to, you know, dragging somebody to get their newsletter out on a weekly basis.
So let's talk about the drag people that you want to offload and strategies for that. So there's two different strategies. I've used them both in the past. I can give you my experiences with them if you want. One is to just say, take that list of people who are the energy drainers and just write them an email and say, I've decided after these many years that I'm no longer going to do this part of my business, and our next meeting will be our last meeting. Short and simple. If you want to throw a fish hook out, which I'm actually thinking you probably don't because you've got plenty other work going on, you could instead, in your next meeting with each of those people individually, which is a lot more draining, but this is one thing you could do. You could say, look, I'm looking at the long view of where we've been, and I see that there's not been a lot of movement. We're kind of going over the same questions, and you're still worried. You're still having trouble with time commitment to your business and so forth. So I've decided that the best thing to do is to end the one-on-one work with you. There are three of the courses that I have, you're welcome to have access to each of them and to complete them, do all the implementation work. And when you have done those three, which should take you about 3 or 4 months, then you're welcome to come back to me and we'll revisit and see if you're ready to start one-on-one. Now, 9 out of 10 people will not come back to you in 3 months because they may do one course, but they're never going to do three. So that's your strain. That's the strainer there. But the end thing is, of the 1% that do come back and say, oh, Sandy, I did it, and it re-energized me, and I realize I haven't been giving enough to my business. Do you want them back anyway? Because you're building this whole other component of your business. So that's really the deciding factor, that and the energy drain from you.
Yeah, I like number two, and for them to be a potential client going forward, their business would need to incorporate some type of recurring membership subscription.
Yeah.
So
that would be one of your qualifiers. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So, and the people that I'm thinking of, they would never do all three courses.
Right.
It's much more fun to complain about how busy they are than to actually stop and do the work, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm done with that energy. I really am. And it's not just the business, I'm done with it in life.
Yeah, you know, the last 14 or 15 months has changed many of us. And if you are someone who is kind of working on yourself and being mindful of how you're growing and changing, because we all do, right, for better or for worse, then you're not the first person, and I don't think you're going to be the last, where I hear, you know, Sue, I'm just done with this part of my business. I don't want anymore. I don't want these people anymore. I don't want the energetic drag. And I have felt that way. In fact, I was having a conversation with Bill last night about people we've known for years, and we're always the ones who stop by or keep in touch or, you know, try to. And I'm like, you know, in 20 years, if they've never rung our doorbell, but we've rung theirs every time we're that direction, what the hell are we doing this for? Exactly. I'm done. So the I'm done thing, I think, is it's a personal thing because it has to do with personal growth, but it also is a business thing. And I think those two are like this. They're really intertwined. Do you ever get that sense, Christy? I see you nodding your head.
Yeah. I'm like, yes. I feel exactly that. I feel like we're so done with the things that aren't giving us energy, don't serve us. But I resonated when you said you were the one for 20 years who's been doing this. I had that same conversation a couple of days ago. I'm like, I'm so done. And I hear that even with you, Sandy, like the clients on a personal and professional level, we're so done with those things that we're just pushing and pushing and we want it more than they do. Yeah. In the business sense, and even in the friendship sense. And yeah. I'm like, it's so exhausting to me now to keep some of these things going when I realized I'm the only one that had a vested interest in it. Mm-hmm. And emotionally, right. I think what COVID did for us is tell us we can't carry that emotional load like we thought we could. Like, it just, I see it in all of our faces. And Sandy, you, I get it. Like, you're like, I'm so done. Like, you were done. Now you're just trying to figure the exit strategy.
Right.
And moving through that. But I think it is an up leveling. And I think we want deeper conversations. We want two-way mm-hmm. streets. You know, I want to be part of a conversation and a movement where we're all so amazingly talented, but we want to be here, you yes. know?
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, I should join a group. I should get a coach. I should do this with my neighborhood book group because that's what being a good neighbor is, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, no, I just need to do what feels so good for me right now. And not in a selfish way. Like, I know that can sound selfish, but
no, not at all.
I think, how do we give of who we are and give of our zone of genius, for lack of a better word, and the gifts we have? How do we do that and feel refreshed in the process as opposed to squelched in the process?
Exactly.
Yeah, there is. So here's the thing. If a person is at a low energy level and is not very conscious or aware, they will say, oh, it's just exhausting to do the neighborhood group. And it's because they're self-absorbed and self-serving. Mm-hmm. If they are at a different, higher energetic level, then it becomes, yep, I heard the doorbell. I wondered which one of you it was. If they're at a higher energetic level, then it becomes really, I need to put my energy and my conscious behavior and my gifts where they will be received and appreciated, because that energizes me and then I can go on and it lifts that person up and it lifts me up, which is how business is if it's good business. The other people who will say kind of the same words, the energetic intent is very, very different. Wow, those are beautiful. What's the occasion?
We are about to find out.
Wow, and we're here live. Is it a
yeah. They're just gorgeous, Sandy.
Oh, totally not what I thought. It's been a very rough week for me. One friend was diagnosed with cancer about 3 weeks ago, and he passed. My ex's best friend, so very, very close to him. And then another friend just passed of cancer.
Aw.
And the guys, so I needed to reschedule a call to attend a funeral. And the guys that I'm talking with about this membership thing, this is from them.
Ah. Well, that's a great vibe, isn't it?
It is. It just says, you know, we're so very sorry to hear about your loss. Know that our thoughts and prayers are with you, thinking of you.
Yes, someone else yeah. values you. It's not just one-sided. And
yeah. it's exactly.
It's perfect. They get it.
I
mean, I posted on Facebook a couple of months ago, like, I just want to be around people who get it. It's like, that's all I want. I just want
it. Shouldn't be that tough. And I mean, I barely know these two. We've had a few conversations.
Right. Well, they're beautiful. Enjoy them. I'm sorry for all your losses. It has been a heavy year for losses, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
It has been. Okay. So intention and energy then really is everything. And Chrissy, as you were saying, keeping that energy and putting it with people who get it or who can reciprocate, that is that is an expansion of energy for them and for you. Otherwise, it's a lost cause. People just don't get it. And you do become more selective. And actually, I just had that conversation with one of my own mentors about a week ago. And he was like, yeah, you do become really selective. And you don't want to have to put up, you kind of cut off people because you don't want to have to put up with people who were energetically a drag or who are never going to kind of turn the corner energy wise. So his prescription for me was you for 2 weeks, you absolutely can't do anything unless it's something you really love to do. Like for you, it's be lazy because you hate that word so much. So this is me being lazy because this is truly what I love to do. But it is like you have to, what his point was is see what it is that you really want to let go of. And you have to kind of do nothing for a couple of days to kind of let it shift, you know, decide what it is you're wanting to let go of. Or you have to sit with it. Being lazy means you have time to sit with it, right? Like you sat with it and you decided, Christy, that you wanted to do away with all these little bitty courses, right?
Yeah. And for me, all these, and I didn't really think about it until the flowers, but I think that like Bryant being diagnosed and being gone in less than a month, mm-hmm. incredibly active guy, someone you'd look at, you know, and be like, oh yeah, he's totally healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, couple of kids, you know, all the energy in the world. And I'm like, he's a year older than I am. You just don't know how much time you have. Mm-mm. And all the death I've gone through in my family, those were all prolonged caregiving, you know, years. But mm-hmm. this was like, bam. And I'm like, you know what? I just don't have the energy for the stuff that doesn't nourish me in some way.
It doesn't matter.
Right. I'm done with the energetic sucking dry and being squelched. I just kind of like your mentor, Sue. I just want to do things that make me smile mm-hmm. and let me contribute in the way that I can best contribute. And me contributing with a client who will never take action and talks about all the big dreams, but won't take that first step to accomplish them, it doesn't work anymore.
Right. So you go ahead and offload them. And if you wanted to give them the three course tests, you can. And if some of them come back, then you have to be willing to take them back really wholeheartedly and be prepared for they might fly, or the minute they have you again, the learned behavior. Backing down because you are in their energy too much will come back again. See, there's this merge of energy or just that nexus where there has to be a nexus. There has to be a meeting point of the energies, but not a configuration of the energies. Right. So you have to decide if those people will over stretch if they come back. And it might be that you've got some where you're going to just say, I'm not doing this anymore. And this is our last session and it's it. And you might have some on a short list that you say, we're going to stop this until you take these three courses and fully implement them. And I'll see you in 3 or 4 months. If in fact you've done all the work and can show me what you've done and show me the results.
Yeah.
Because it's time for me to be a hard ass with you, basically.
Yeah, and I can definitely see both of those categories easily. You know, Dan Kennedy used to say, and I loved it. If I wake up thinking about your business 3 mornings in a row and we're not sleeping together, I'm gonna let you go.
That's pretty great.
And the first time I heard him say that, I'm like, huh. I like that.
Yeah.
Because I'd wake up thinking about, oh, so-and-so could do A, B, and C in her business. And meanwhile, you know, I'm the cobbler without any shoes. So it was, when he said that, it was like, okay, you know, time to get you.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong. You know, there's nothing wrong with having an honest conversation about, you know, I have felt like I care more about what happens in your business than you do. And that's not a good feeling, nor is it healthy for you or for me. So the homework is go and do these things and implement them, and then start seeing how you feel about your business and whether you're really energized to move toward it, because it really is a thing about consciousness of life, as you say, and consciousness of our own death. And what is it that we want to do before we either get too ill or we just suddenly pass away? And that time is precious. And all of us are too in age now where we start to see that that time is precious. Yes. It's not just an everlasting expansion of time that we have. And actually, even when we're 8 years old, we don't have that. We don't know what we have, but we all feel like we have it when we're 8 years old, right? Or maybe even when we're 30, we feel like that too. So it is really an awareness of who you are, what your best gifts are, what it is that you feel like you can offer people that will lift them up and also lift you up. And it's reciprocal in that way.
Yeah, it is.
So then, Sandy, the components of your business would be perhaps this new endeavor, this strategic tactical project, let's just call it for lack of a better term. And then your ongoing small membership site, and then your business corporate work, I guess, is for lack of a better term. Would those end up being your three main components, do you think, or would there be other components?
No, I think those would be the three, and the sprinkled with some one-on-one work. Mm-hmm. So the corporate organizational work, that's not one-on-one. And that, I've gotten that to the point now where it is literally 95% my team. Mm-hmm. So that is extremely leveraged for me personally.
Yeah.
And I've tweaked that enough to make it very profitable. Another thing that this would allow is when I look at a lot of my clients, they've been clients for so long,
yeah,
that I keep grandfathering pricing. So it doesn't feel good to me to raise the prices on someone who's been with me.
Right.
For so long. So I've got all of this legacy pricing out there that doesn't feel good to change and is way, way below.
Mm-hmm.
Where it should be.
Can I ask you a question? Is that, I hear you saying you don't want to change it, but do you think that's dragging your energy down?
I don't think so, because for the clients that are doing the work, I'm excited to work. When the phone rings and it's them, I'm excited for that call.
Okay.
But the ones that aren't, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, I got to talk to her now. And it's, in some cases, the money, the one who is paying less is the one I'm more excited to talk with. Uh-huh. It really feels energetic to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, from the CEO perspective, looking at, okay, what am I charging for what here? It's like, whoa, you know, I need to deal with my legacy. For those that I'm going to keep, I need to deal with the legacy pricing. You know, step it up over the course of a year or, you know, whatever I'm going to do, but I can't keep using the same pricing I've used for a decade, which for some of these clients I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
One of them has had the same pricing for 14 years.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
So yeah, when I say legacy, it's, you know, it's not a year, it's legacy.
Right. And you, I mean, there's a couple of different ways to strategize that and to change it. And you have to realize that for some people will say, but I've always had this pricing and I don't want to go to a higher pricing, and you'll lose them. And that's okay.
It will be okay. I'm making It's this is my year to be okay with all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So like my I read your email this morning, Sue, yeah. Where your word of the year is, you know, was different.
Yeah.
Is different. Mine is 1 year.
Ah.
I got a piece of driftwood and I had 1 year written on it. And it's right in front of me up on the wall in my office. And it's, this is my year to get comfortable with the uncomfortable and to become the CEO and grow up in my business.
Mm-hmm.
This is all different stages of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it'll feel cleaner to you when you've gone through this process, I think.
Oh, absolutely. So mm-hmm. much
cleaner. And more streamlined as well, because you won't have so many different, like Christy, I'm thinking you, it's going to feel a lot more streamlined for you. If you say, I have a membership site, I recruit through my podcast, through a video series, through speaking now and then, because I do think you will be doing that, you know, as things continue to open up.
Yeah.
And then from there, I also have one-on-one work for people who really do want to dive deep.
And it,
yeah,
just that streamlining makes so many other things a no, because it doesn't fit in. So it eliminates so many distractions.
Well, I think, Sandy, that your niche of consulting and strategizing for membership and recurring income types of things, that's a good niche, because you so much love to do the engagement and showing people how to nurture their clients. And people need that, and they don't know how to do it. They talk about engagement, but really nurturing is the better term for that. So that's a little different. And from a marketing perspective, it's good to have that difference in terminology, right? So I like that for you. And Christy, what are you calling your membership?
Yes.
That was a fun thing.
I asked that for a reason.
That's a loaded question, Sue.
Uh-oh. Okay.
We don't have time to deal with that. Okay, so I thought I had landed on one, but things have shifted a little, and now I'm like, maybe I need to call it something different. So I was going to call it Sacred and Savvy. Can I share my screen real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Because then I can show you the front page of my website.
Yeah, you that'll just help click on share screen. Okay. You see it?
It says disabled participant share screening.
Oh, wait a minute. Here, share screen. Let me see. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Let me close that. Participants, chat, share screen. More. Hang on. Allow participants to. I don't see where am I supposed to give you.
You might be able to make her the co-host under go to participants and then click make co-host for Christy.
Yeah, maybe that. Hang on a minute and let me see. More. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yep, there she is.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Sandy.
There we go. Yeah, thank you. All right. You see it?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So the reason I'm showing you this is to answer that question. So I have my quiz here. Where are you on your success path as a spiritual female solopreneur? That'll take them to take the quiz. I do a little intro here. I'm glad you're here. This is kind of who I am, whatever. But now we get back to this. Looking for a faith-based mentor to help you up-level your lifestyle and business. Because I see myself as a spiritual lifestyle and leadership mentor to women, specifically solopreneurs, is probably my deal, right? So the three things are, who am I becoming, which is now going to be the video course, join my membership, and then the higher level, unlocking your destiny map. I was going to call the join the membership Sacred and Savvy because, whatever. Now I kind of had this idea of a more overarching thing, and I still might call it this, but there's, because I really am stepping into who I am as a spiritual leader, there's a Bible verse that talks about, and a great company of women will, this is loose translation, will carry the message and reap all the financial profits. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should call it a great company of women, because most of my people are going to be Christian persuasion, or at least curious about how do we be more spiritual? What does that look like? So that's the short answer to the question, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about the energy of both of those. A great company of women are spiritual and savvy.
Sacred and savvy.
Sacred and savvy.
And I thought, well, maybe my overall website could be either ChristyLynnOlson.com, or I could talk about, I'm building this great company of women. Where do you want to plug in? Do you want to be a part of a Who Am I Becoming class? Do you want to be in the membership, which is sacred and savvy? Or do you want to work with me and unlock your destiny map? Or is the membership building a great company of women, because we're in this together? And maybe the podcast is called Sacred and Savvy, How to Walk a Spiritual Lifestyle and Be in Business at the Same Time.
I kind of like the energy of ChristyOlson.com tagline, growing a great company of women, maybe. And then I do like the Sacred and Savvy for the membership. Mm-hmm. But I like it actually for the podcast too. What is the podcast name now?
Well, my old business name, Women Infused, Women Business and Fascinating Faith, was the tagline.
Okay. Okay. I like that title too, as far as for the podcast. I like that.
I think the Sacred and Savvy is catchy.
It is
catchy and different, and that's why I like it.
Yeah. So maybe it's not as difficult as I make it out to be. I'm just, you know,
once you talk about it, it never is, right? So, but you had to talk about it to go through it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I really like the Sacred and Savvy, either for the membership or for the podcast. I think it works for both. I mean, I can see the branding. I can see so much there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong. You could say Sacred and Savvy podcast and Sacred and Savvy membership. I don't think that that's terrible to do.
Well, no, I don't either.
And that's why I don't want to go down this rabbit trail of now I have seven different entities or so, you know, because I think that creates confusion. So,
right.
As much as I can have people like, what are you known for? Oh, she's the Sacred and Savvy person. She's building a company of women. Like I like what you said, Christy Lynn Olson. And then the tagline for the website or the overall thing is growing a great company of women.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Rachel Rogers, Christy?
That name is extremely familiar to me, and I can't figure out how I know Rachel Rogers.
She just wrote a book. It came out, I think, 2 weeks ago, called We Should All Be Millionaires.
Oh.
And she has We Should All Be Millionaires, the book. We Should All Be Millionaires, the club, which is her membership.
Okay.
So she uses that phrase pretty much for everything that she does. And she just puts the tagline, you know, the book, the podcast, the club. And her membership is $295 a month.
Huh.
So, I think you could use it for both very easily. And Sacred and Savvy, you could become the Sacred and Savvy, woman.
Yeah, you could. That's just catchy and I like it.
Same here. And it's short.
Yeah.
It is short. It's, you know, it's got a little bit of the alliteration with the S's.
It makes a good hashtag too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I'm trying to place, now that you're saying that, I'm like, I know someone pointed me towards Rachel Rogers within the last couple of months, because now it's kind of all coming back to me, but I can't think of who that was. Maybe it was you. I want to look her up, but I know that this is something I can grow to be bigger if I get the right thing. And I know we can always change, but I think instead of re-guessing myself, I just want to flow with this, because I keep going back to Sacred and Savvy. I like it, like, for all the reasons you guys just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Here, I can stop sharing. There. Thank you.
It's looking good. Yeah, it's looking good. Yeah, it's
looking very good.
Yeah, I like the colors. I've just been taking this course about color psychology, you know, for logos and all that kind of stuff. And I'm learning a lot. I mean, I thought I knew a lot about color psychology, but I'm really learning a lot. And those bright colors they're a good high energy color for you, because you do want to attract people you want to attract women who have a growing, expanding energy.
Yeah.
And I think those are good colors for you.
I agree. Yeah.
So thank you. Because originally someone gave me some marketing advice, and I'm like, this is why we need to rely on our own instinct. Because they're like, I think you should do kind of a muted navy, a gray tone, and whatever. And I'm like, then we did some mock-ups. I'm like, this does not feel good for me. I'm like, it's too boring. And I'm like, no, I want the bright, vibrant. And you're right. They'll either be drawn to it or they won't. And that was their conversation. They're like, well, you might put off some people if it's too girly. I'm like, you know what? This is exactly who I want to attract.
Yeah. You want, just like everything else, you want your colors to both attract and repel, right?
Yeah.
That's smart marketing. Okay. Anything? I don't want to keep you over your time, but what's the Hello 7?
That is the Rachel Rogers website.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that'll lead to the book. Okay.
Yep, the Hello 7, you know, we get to 7 figures. So that's the name of her technical name of her company.
So we will be meeting again on the 9th, and I will see you then. But if you need anything from me before then, you know where to find me.
Have a good Memorial Day, everybody.
Yeah, you guys too. We actually have people having a little block party down at the end of the street. So I feel like the doors to the social life are opening again. Take care. Enjoy those flowers. They're gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. The smell is amazing in here.
I'll bet. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, ladies.